Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Hello, baby. Yeah, that's my big bopper. Oh, I enjoyed playing that. Yeah, it was a big bopper in the musical show Buddy for about, 4 months or so. I got to play out every one of my rock and roll fantasies. It was so fun. Very cool. And now on my podcast here, I get to play out my childhood dream of, you know, being on the radio. How about that, Reggie, huh? Look at Reggie just sitting there. No food today, huh? Well, we are, yeah, we're recording a little later in the afternoon today, so I could see that I've missed your lunch. Your regular sub sandwich not there. And as we said a few podcasts before, you tried the Impossible Burger. Look at you. But here you are. You're all full. You're content for a while. Good. You should stay hungry. Keeps the creative juices going. I never eat before a broadcast for many hours. I don't eat when I'm acting in a play on stage. I never eat several hours before. When I go to a concert, I don't eat. I like to be hungry. I don't like to be weighed down. I like to feel energetic and not lethargic. You might want to consider that, Reg. Okay. As he sits back there with his feet up. Okay, come on. Professional. As much as we can be. Okay? Levels ready? Okay? Thumbs up. Talent is always ready. Let's do this thing. Okay? Three S's. Star smile strong. Here we go. Hello, baby. This is the big bopper speaking. Sorry, I just fell into my bopper again. Let's do this thing. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted for your podcasting pleasure at WGNplus.com or whatever platform it is that you find your favorite podcast on a regular basis. That's where we're at as well, and that's fine. In fact, whatever platform you're on, don't forget to subscribe to that platform. And if you can, you can rate this podcast. And by all means, if you like what you hear, whether you're a longtime fan or just someone who's found us and enjoying what you hear, please, by all means, pass the word, send a link, send a word. Leave a message with your friends and let them know about Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, the only podcast on the internet which has the good housekeeping seal of podcast approval. Just don't look that up. It sounds good, though, doesn't it? So, oh, by the way, if you go to WGNplus.com, I also have a landing page there. And so it's always good to hear some of the past podcasts that we do, because very often I will refer to previous podcasts, whether they are a few weeks ago or maybe sometimes a few years ago, because this podcast debuted in May of 2016. We've been doing this for a while here now. In fact, you can find all previous 176 episodes on that landing page, which can only, of course, mean one thing if you do the math, and please show your work. This is episode 177. We're getting close to 180. I don't know what that means, but it just sounds impressive, doesn't it? On this podcast, I would like to share with you a few stories of from my personal life. You know, a lot of times people enjoy that. And they especially like when I share some of my stories about some things around the house. I like to call them my call the guy stories. If you're a regular listener, you know that I am a call the guy guy. I do not putter. I don't have many kinds of skills in terms of fixing things. I'm not completely inept, but I'm not totally ept either. I'm somewhere in the, I'm mid-ept. Is that a word? I'm not inept and I'm not ept. I'm sorta ept. I could do some of your basics. I could paint a little. But man, those corners are tough, especially when you have two different colors. That's not always fun. I have a friend of mine who's a professional painter. He's been doing it for, my gosh, probably 40 years. And he can draw, he can paint a corner or an edge or a line without any tape. Just, he's got an amazingly, you know, straight hand. And I've watched him in action, and it's an art. It really is. But I could paint a wall with a roller. I could paint a park. I mean, I've got a picnic bench. I paint that. I've painted some parts of the garage. I can paint. I could paint a room. Like I said, it's those little things by the baseboard or by the wall and where the ceiling and the wall meet where I get in trouble. I can change a fuse. I've done that. What else can I do? I can trim, you know, bushes to some extent. That I can do. I have been known to actually install an electrical, you know, like a light fixture. I did that one time in our first house. I was very young and very naive, and I was still young enough to be in that kind of DIY mode. And I followed the directions, and it worked. And I was very proud of myself when I did it. But there was still a part of me that knew I really didn't know what I was doing. I was just following directions. I didn't really have a full grasp of. And for 3 years, we were in that house. And every time, I'm not exaggerating, every time I turned on the kitchen light, and if you're in a house for 3 years, can you imagine how many times you've turned on the kitchen light? I mean, probably the most of any light in the house you've turned on. And I swear to you, every time I turned it on, I was waiting for a pop or a fizz or some smoke to come out of that thing. I couldn't believe that I was able to do it correctly. And just that stress, just that from then on, even though I did it correctly, I did it without full confidence, and so ever since then, I've always brought in a professional to put in a light fixture. I know it's easy enough, but when it comes to electricity, I'd rather just have a pro do it. I've tried some simple plumbing things, but at the end of the day, you know, you call a professional. I've tried some do-it-yourself projects, some that I've done okay, good enough, but not perfect. Some didn't work at all, had to call a professional in to redo my work and then do it correctly. In an effort to save money, I probably spent much more because they had to clean up my mess and then also redo it. And I came to a point where I just realized, and I was very honest with myself, and I've said to you on many occasions, if anything, I am very realistic. I look at reality. It's not that I'm not a dreamer or not an optimist, because I am certainly a dreamer. And I always do hope for the best. But I also, there's a part of me that also can step away and be very honest. And I try to be as honest with myself and others as I can. And in this area of, I'm not a putterer, I just don't putter. My dad didn't putter. I think most people that putter or learn how to do things around the house. I think they learned it from their father or their grandfather. Well, both of my grandfathers died before I was born, and my dad was not a putterer at all either. So I didn't learn that from him. I don't know how to fix a car. For me to open up a hood of a car, to do anything more than put in the windshield wiper fluid is a joke. It's just for show. I don't know. I mean, I know what a battery looks like, you know, but when it comes to jumping a car, I would never do that on my own. I'd have to let someone else do it. I don't know how to do that. I know it's easy, but, and I think I know which goes on which, but I'm so not confident in it. Even if I know that, even if I follow directions, there's electricity and there's a chance for explosion or fire, and I'd rather let a pro do it. I've had to pay more, obviously, by getting a professional to do it and pay them to do it. But at the end of the day, at least I feel confident that when I turn the light on in the kitchen, it will not explode. Or when I do jump a car, the engine will not explode or start on fire. Or sparks won't fly. Or when I flush the toilet, the water won't overflow. Or when I turn the water on, you know, the water will come out of the sink. So I call the guy. I have two phrases. Call the guy, or when I'm doing something in the midst of it, and I know that I'm not doing it right, or that it's not going well, and it's not going to end well. The little voice in my head says, isn't there a guy who does this? And just to be in a Me Too world, isn't this a person? I have to change that phrase, in fact. I used to say, call the guy. I'm going to be very 2019 right now. Might scare you folks. But yeah, you know what? I used to say, call the guy. From now on, I'm going to say, call the person. Thank you very much. Look at me, evolving. So I'm a call the person guy. I call the person. Up to this point, most of the time when I call the person, it is a male, but who's to say that that won't change? Maybe I'll call the plumber and one day it'll be a woman. And great. I have no problems with that. But I'll be a little politically correct now, just for the sake of it. I used to say, call the guy. Most of the times, whether it's somebody to come and do some work around the house, you know, it is a man. But I'm going to be very with it. You know, it's the term is called handyman. Maybe we need to call it the handy person. Have you ever thought of that? I've never thought of that until right now. We need to, you know, why do we say, you know, congressperson? We have changed a lot of the gender specific to general neutral, but not in the handyman world. It's handy person, right? I'm going to call the person to fix it. There's nothing to say that a woman can't be an electrician or a plumber or a painter or a handy person, right? So from now on, I'm going to say I'm calling the person. Call the person. The handy person can. Hey, baby, I'm your handy person. I don't know if James Taylor's song would have sounded the same. Remember Handyman? Hey, baby, I'm your handyman. That seems to flow better than I'm your handy person. But we might have to change the song. Sorry, James. So I've got a couple. So I've been very pleased that this year so far, 2019, has been pretty good in terms of any, you know, major problems around the house where I've had to call the person. Haven't had too many of those, which is nice. Because it always, you know, there's an inconvenience of something happening in your house that is not working correctly. And then, of course, there is the the whole idea of, you know, the cost of it. So it's been nice this year. There hasn't been too many things that I haven't been able to. I've blown a few fuses, but as I said, hey, yeah, I could change a fuse. Yeah. Yeah, I've gone to the Menards and bought some, you know, 15 amp, some 20 amp fuses. Thank you very much. The blues and the oranges. I know where to go for my fuses. I have an old home, and we still have a fuse box. I know I should probably change it to a circuit breaker. I need to do that. We've been here 20 years. I think I probably should do that. But I've blown a few fuses in my day, and I've changed them. Thank you very much. I've changed the battery in my smoke detector. I could change a light bulb if I have to. Look at me. Yeah. Uh-huh. I can do a few things, but when it comes to stuff that's really important or stuff that you really want that needs to be done well or it can cause future problems, I do call the person. So it's been a good year for that. I haven't had to call the person too many times this year. But of course, when it rains, it pours, sometimes literally. And so I've had a few recent call the person events that I thought I'd share with you because they're always fun. So the first one I have to say, it renewed my faith in humanity. And how many times does that happen? How many times during the course of a day does your faith in humanity get energized? But my faith in humanity was definitely affected when this happened to me. So two of our gutters, one in the back of the house and one in the front of the house, had become loose. And when that happens, they kind of sag, and the water, instead of flowing through the gutter to the downspout and out, the water just sort of sits in the gutter and accumulates, and then it starts to overflow. And if it really rains hard, and in the last couple of years, at least here in the Chicago area, we've had some interesting rains in that it doesn't just drizzle anymore. We get like downpours that last maybe 40 minutes and then they go away very quickly. But for those times, it rains like an inch and a half at one time. And so my gutters were flooding in these two spots and they were overflowing. And one was causing a problem in that it was right near my basement stairs. And for whatever reason, down by my basement stairs on the outside, there, instead of a drain being in where the stairs are, I don't know, it's an old house in an old neighborhood. I don't know what happened, but the drain is capped. So the water was dumping out of that gutter like a waterfall. And hitting the ground near these stairs, and I guess the way the concrete was pitched, the water was going down the stairs and accumulating in the little area by the basement door such that it would accumulate. There's no drain there, and it would start coming through the door. So, of course, I tried to block it, but sometimes the rain just was such that we would start to get a little water dripping in through the door and into the basement. And it got to be a pain in the butt because a lot of times if you're not home, the water just accumulates. So finally I called the person. Call the person. So we had to get this fixed. In the front, it wasn't doing as much damage. It's just that it's not good to have the gutter, you know, who knows what could have happened. But in the back, it was actually causing a byproduct of that. So I had to get those fixed. So the person, although he was a guy, I called a regular kind of household remodeling kind of place. And he looked at it and said, "Yeah, well, those gutters seem to be, they're loose." And for whatever reason, he didn't go up on the roof to look at them, but I guess visually you could tell. And he said it would probably be better if we replace the gutters than maybe just fix them. It might be more of an involved job to actually fix them the way they were. Now, I don't know, right? That's why I call the person. I don't know about gutters. I had somebody clean the gutters, and they suggested that, the gutters look good. It's just that they need to be refastened. So that's what I initially had suggested, but this guy suggested that we get new gutters for those two spots, not around the whole house, just these two little spots that where the gutters seem to be loose and sagging. So I approved that, and we were, going to have the job. Well, here's where my faith in humanity was just completely refreshed. When the workman came out, the first guy came out and estimated the job. And as I said, he just looked at it visually. I don't know if he was a gutter specialist per se. But when the actual workman came the day to fix them, to replace them, right? It's going to be a somewhat big job. The real expert looked at the gutters visually and said, "Are we putting new gutters up?" And I said, "Well, yeah, they said it would be better." And he said, "Well, I'm going to take a look, but I just think they need to be fastened." And I said, "Well, that's what I thought, but, I was told that it might be more complicated and it would be cheaper to replace them." And so this guy who had this job, I mean, he came out here with the work order to take down the old gutters, put up new gutters, and haul away the old gutters, right? For X amount of dollars. And so big job, right? Full job, probably, 4 or 5 hour job, I would assume. Him and his other guy were there. And so, and instead, he took one look at them and suggested that, I don't think these need to be replaced. He went up and looked at them closer and said, "Yeah." And in fact, he just, with his hand, he lifted it up, and all of a sudden you could hear the water running a little already. Because he said, "Oh yeah, there's water in this spot." And he went to the front and said, "Yeah, there's water in that spot because they're sagging. They're not connected here. Somehow the brackets came off." So as soon as he went up there with the ladder, he put new brackets on the whole length. And I could, from the ground, I could physically hear the water suddenly flowing through the gutter and down the downspout, and boom, there it was, both sides. It was immediate. That's all it needed to be done. And so I was amazed. It was heartening. I was impressed. I was grateful. I threw the guy a couple of bucks because I said, "Thank you so much." Because, look, as I said before, I'm probably a sucker for whenever workmen come to the house, because they know they got me, right? And I don't think that necessarily the guy that had estimated the job was trying to rip me off. I just think he visually, I don't know what a kind of a gutter guy, expert he was. I think he just saw they were sagging, and he said, "Well, how old is the house? How old are those gutters? You might want to just think about replacing them. This way it's all new." And so that was kind of his pitch, and it made sense to me because I didn't know what shape the gutters were in. I never put new gutters on, and I've been at this house for 20 years, so I don't know. And the price wasn't all that crazy, so it made sense to me. But here was this other guy, the real workman, the expert, who was here to do the job, who had the job, and would have gotten paid, you know, and to do that job. And rather than doing this job that he knew was not necessary, he could have looked at that himself and sort of laughed to himself and said, oh, well, there's a sucker born every day. These don't need to be, but you know what? He's agreed to pay for them. I'll take them down and give him new gutters, even if he doesn't need them, even though I know that all he needs is a couple of brackets. It'll take me 15 minutes to do it, and it should be one-fifth of the price. But he agreed to pay this and get a couple of new gutters, so, hey, I'm going to get my money for it. But he didn't do that. And so I was so impressed, and as I said, my faith in humanity was restored, because we always think that these work people that come out are there to rip us off. We just, there's always, even if they're the nicest guys in the world, right? It's like when you go to buy a car. Even if you get a great deal, you still walk out of there, what you think is a great deal. Don't you still walk out of the car dealership thinking that you're still paying more than you should? It's just kind of a part of the game, and it sadly is a game. And when it comes to work around the house, or you know, with a mechanic or with a car salesman or something that you don't really have an expertise in, you do feel like people are maybe taking a little advantage of you. But that's the price of doing business sometimes. And that's the price for wanting it done right. I mean, I suppose I could have climbed up that ladder and looked at it at my own, and maybe I could have even done what they did. I doubt it. I never would have tried it. I wouldn't have climbed up that ladder to begin with to get to the top of the house. But, wow, here's a guy that could have easily ripped me off. I was prepared to pay the price for this full, bigger job that ultimately was unnecessary. And I'm not joking. Probably that bigger job was at least four times the price of what this easier job cost. I would have paid four times. Now, I would have gotten more services for that. I wasn't going to pay four times the price for the job he just did. But I would have been four times the price out of money. I would have gotten new gutters for my money, which I think was a fair price for that job. But the fact is, I didn't need to do that job. It was a much simpler job that cost much less. I agreed to the bigger job that cost more, and this workman could have easily just done that job and walked away and said, boy, that poor guy, I mean, he got new gutters, which is fine, but he really didn't need them. But he was honest enough to give me the option. He said, look, if you want, I'll put the new gutters up. I mean, it's still, you can't go wrong with new gutters, right? But I'm just telling you that I don't think you need new gutters. If you'd rather, I can just fix these existing ones and it'll work just as fine. How great is that? How great is that? So sometimes you meet somebody that's just an honest, good guy. And you know that there's been some times when you've been ripped off, and you know it, and they know it, and it's just reality. But this situation, I was impressed by the workman. I called the company up and told them what happened, and told them how much I appreciated the workman that they work with, who was so honest. And good for them for dealing with honest people. So sometimes when you call the person, you really wind up finding somebody that's not there to rip you off, but really just there to help you. And wow, that was very unique. I don't think I'm always getting ripped off, but There are times when you feel that you're paying a little more than you probably should, but that's the price you pay for calling a professional and for getting it done right. That's the way I look at it. It's the price of doing business. And if it's a little higher than it should be, well, that's what it is. But this was really something above and beyond. And so kudos to that workman. And I'm not going to say his name, but I was very impressed and I felt very good about that experience. And so I would certainly call that company back again because they clearly work with honest people. And that's a reflection of them. So good for them. So this was an opportunity to where when you called the person, when you called the man, I still like that phrase, call the man. It's from Andy Griffith's show. Wow. What a surprise. And what an honest person. And it's nice to see that there's still some really good people out there who are not out to just make a buck off you, but to really help you, especially when you're someone like me who needs the help. So chalk one up for all you tradesmen out there. Remember this story. If you're a tradesman out there, believe me, for those of us that can't do anything, we rely on you. And I understand it's a tough job and it's a tough living. And so you know, every extra $50 or every $100, you know, you might feel, you know, you're entitled to that. And I understand that. But the way I do business is when somebody I feel gives me a good price and gives me good service for a good price and is fair, I continue to come back to that person. And there are times when I have been ripped off and I know I'm getting ripped off and we all know it. And I don't call those people back again. That's all. Fool me once, shame on me. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. There's some times when you don't know, you want to get something done quick. You just say yes to the first quote, you get it done, and then you find out you could have got, you got charged $300 or $400 more than you should have. And you go, well, okay, chalk that up. But I do know that I won't call those people up again. So you know what? You made your money off me, but you, in the short term, yes. But in the long term, not, because I will continue to need stuff done. And if I feel I get a good price, I will keep calling you. And over the long term, you will make a lot more money off me in the long term because I'll continue to call you because we're getting a fair price for the service as opposed to you get that one little payday. Good for you, but you're not getting a call back again. It's a great line from a play, from a great movie and a great play called Glengarry Glen Ross by David Mamet. And I've been lucky enough to be in that play, one of my favorite plays, and a great movie. You can rent it with Al Pacino and Alec Baldwin, Alan Arkin, Ed Harris, and Jack Lemmon, obviously. It's a great line. It's about salesmen who are selling real estate. And they were obviously in other lines of work in terms of selling other things like cars and other things in their career. And this one guy says, you know, what we learned from Western Avenue, which in Chicago, that's where all the car dealerships used to be on Western Avenue. And he said, what we learned is that you don't rip somebody off and sell them one car. What you do is you sell them five cars over 20 years. You don't go for the big score because they're never going to come back. But if you treat people fairly, you'll sell them, instead of selling them one car one time, you'll sell them five cars over the next 20 years. And that's what you want, the longevity. And that's, I believe, a very good rule of thumb to go by. And that's what I do. When I call the person, when I call the man, for the most part, a lot of the work that I do, I've called the same plumber many times because I feel that I've gotten a fair deal. You come out, you create some kind of a relationship, and you get a hopefully a fair deal, and you come back again and you get good work done. I call the same painters. I call the same electricians. I call the same appliance people to fix appliances. I'm very loyal in that way. I've gone to the same dealership for almost 30 years now. Same dealership. Not even close to my house. But I feel that I've gotten a good deal there, so I go back there. I am loyal in that way. If somebody does me fair, then I trust them and will go back to them. And same way, if I get ripped off, that's happened to me before, I will have to pay it, but I will never call them again. And this gutter situation was really an example of, okay, if I need something done again, I'll definitely call them. You'd rarely see a workman tell you that you don't need something as expensive and as extravagant as you've already agreed to pay and do. What an amazing thing. So I certainly felt good about my gutter situation. So, part two of calling the man, calling the person. Within 2 days of the gutter situation, it rained here. Like I said, it's been a nice year. Not a lot of problems around the house that we have to call the guy, which has been nice because it's just like to have things working, right? It's always a pain waiting for them to come. You got to do without a certain thing you're used to and whatever. So it's been a pretty good year that way. Well, of course, when it rains, it literally pours. It was pouring in my gutter, which was flooding my basement every so often. Thankfully, not crazily, but you still have to clean it up, right? And it's an unfinished basement, so nothing majorly damaged, just the pain in the butt of having to, vacuum water or bale water or whatever, or pump water. Because I said we've had some crazy rain here. And so little did I know, about 3 days after the gutter situation was resolved, apparently overnight, and I didn't hear it, I must have really been sleeping soundly, it was a pretty major rain and windstorm in our area. And I didn't know until the next morning. And I saw that the ground was wet, but I didn't really hear it. My wife said, oh, yeah. She said it was very windy and there was thunder. And I just slept right through it. But I did notice when I looked out our kitchen window that there were some small branches that had fallen from a tree next door that kind of were scattered around the grass. Not big branches, just probably small little loose branches with, some leaves on them. But there was quite a few kind of littered around the yard. And so from our kitchen window, we have a long yard of grass, and we have a detached garage that's to the left. And so you can really, from the kitchen window, you can just see the straight line of our yard that goes to the next yard. And there is a little patch behind the garage that is hidden from our window because the garage is to the left. And it's still part of our yard. So our yard sort of, goes to the left in that spot behind the garage. But you can't see that from our window. All we see is kind of this straight line. And that's where I saw these branches. So I saw those in the morning, but, it was kind of still drizzling. So by the afternoon, the weather cleared up, and I went out to just pick up these stray branches. And, you know, okay, fine, whatever. There's about five or six little branches with leaves. As I said, nothing big. And as I continue to walk the depth of the yard to pick up these branches, as I get past the edge of the back of our garage and look to my left, where the back of the garage is and where there's still more yard now, the yard kind of opens up, I see two huge tree limbs just laying there. One on my wooden fence, laying there. Another one, I don't know how this happened. It fell and thankfully did not hit the garage roof, but fell off to the side. But this other one was laying on the fence. It had damaged the top cap of the fence. It had dislodged the fence panel from the post, knocked it down. Didn't destroy it, but it tore it. I'm not sure how high up and what force this tree limb came down on. And I don't know when it did. It must have happened overnight. But all that was hidden from me from my view from the kitchen window. And if I hadn't even walked out to pick up those stray branches, I wouldn't have even known until I went out there. Who knows? I mean, I was going to go out into the yard probably, but I hadn't gone out there till about, late in the afternoon because it was raining and stuff like that. I had no idea that this, in other words, I had no idea that that this major tree limb had fallen in my yard and had damaged my fence. And also, structurally it loosened some of the poles. So I don't know how, from where, you'd sort of see maybe where this limb came down from. It was a pretty big limb. It wasn't, it didn't destroy the fence. Did some damage, but it was still a big, I lifted it off the top of the fence so it wouldn't continue to weigh on it and potentially, tear it completely off from the post. It was a good size. And it had to have fallen from a pretty good distance up on that tree. And I saw some fresh, it was hard to tell exactly where the limb came from, or the two limbs actually, but you could see sort of what looked to be maybe a fresh crack off the tree. So I don't know if it came crashing down, unobstructed, or maybe it glanced off lower branches and maybe didn't hit as hard. If it had fallen cleanly without any obstruction, it may have done a lot more damage in terms of when it hit the fence. So maybe it's going to just kind of lumber down through the tree. It's a pretty big tree. But whatever had happened, I had no idea it happened. Now, my wife, in retrospect, said that around about 5 in the morning, she may have gotten up at one point, and she said she heard kind of a boom. And she didn't know what it was. And she said, now in retrospect, she may have thought it did come from, it did sound like it came from the back of the house. So maybe that's when it happened, around 5 o'clock in the morning. Because apparently it was very windy, and this is an old tree. So suddenly I just finished my gutter situation, and I'm all pleased with that. And isn't it a great feeling when you do have something that needs fixing in your house, whether you fix it or when you have someone else fix it? Isn't it nice when it's done? You feel like, oh, it's life is back to normal again. And I don't have to deal with phone calls and people coming between 9 and 12 and all that rigmarole that goes with fixing it or going out on your own and getting the materials and fixing it and all that stuff. All, whether you fix it yourself or you call the person, you call the man, there's always, busy work that goes along with it. I always just love that moment when, because I am a call the guy kind of guy. Oh, when they pull away and leave and life goes back to normalcy. I love it. I just love it. So I was feeling all happy that my gutter was fixed. I saw the water flow. I heard it flow and I saw it come flying out the downspout. Life was good again. Didn't have to worry about the pouring rain. Every time it was pouring, I was like, oh, man, are we going to get water? You know, and I'd be out there even preempting it. I have like a little sump pump that I'd be in that little area there to. And now it's been done for about 3 weeks. Not a drop of water. Oh, it's been so nice. I know it took me so long to get it fixed. I thought maybe it wasn't happening, but yeah, it was. And I just, you know, I hate to call the guy. And I was afraid of what I had to pay, you know, so that's that whole thing. But then it was resolved so nicely that I just had such a great feeling. And now I'm even more happy because it really fixed my problem. So I was feeling good until I picked up these stray branches and looked to my left and saw this huge tree limb in my yard. Two of them, really, but one major one and another one that was a pretty good size anyway. You know, kind of leaning against my fence and leaning against my garage and taking up a lot of space and kind of, you know, and laying on some bushes. Who knows what it was going to do to that? It was way too big and heavy for me to move. It would have to be removed and cut with a chainsaw. And here's a shocker. I don't have a chainsaw. So, yes, I'd have to call the man. I would have to call the man on this, and I did have to. Sorry about that. I just dropped something. So I did have to call the man, and I had to call the insurance company. So now we're in another situation. Now a whole other layer of rigmarole and bureaucracy, right? So I call the insurance company and I explain what happens and, okay, we'll send an adjuster out. And thankfully, that entire process went smoothly. And the adjuster came out in a couple of days. But all told, it was a week that the thing was kind of sitting there. And it wasn't, thankfully, it wasn't obstructing our yard where we couldn't do anything, but it was just, you know me, I don't like disorder. You know, I move things an inch if it's not straight. So to have two giant tree limbs just laying in the yard was, thankfully I couldn't see them. So they weren't there really in my mind. But they were in the back of my mind that it has to get done. But thankfully, the insurance call to the insurance company went very smooth. The adjuster came out 3 or 4 days later. This happened on a Friday, so I couldn't call the insurance guy till Monday. The adjuster didn't come till Wednesday or Thursday, so all in all, the tree was sitting there for a week, but as I said, thankfully my garage hid it from me, so I didn't really know it was there. And he came and he saw, this was a legitimate claim. And here's a little interesting tidbit, just for your own knowledge. That's why I'm here, folks, to share my experiences with you. I wouldn't have known this unless this happened. But, you know, I called my insurance company just to find out what to do initially, really. I didn't know if it was my liability or it was my neighbor's liability because it was their tree and it fell on my property. But apparently, if your neighbor's tree limb falls on your property and does damage, it is your responsibility. If the tree is not dead, and in fact they have trimmed it and done everything they could to prevent something like this happening, then if that limb does come off and does fall on your property and does damage to your property, it is considered an act of God and it is your responsibility and your liability. Because I guess the thinking is that, you know, you say, well, Jesus, my neighbor's tree, and why should I incur the liability? But I guess the way the thought process is, and I guess this makes some extent, at least this is the way the insurance world thinks, is that, well, what if, for an instance, that tree limb didn't fall on my next door neighbor's house? Say there was a tornado wind and that tree limb flew two blocks and hit a fence. You know, now it's not my next door neighbor. It's not just my next door neighbor. How can that person who lived two blocks away be responsible for a tree limb that was lifted by the wind and blown two blocks and did damage? So it's viewed the same way, whether it blew three blocks or whether it fell 4 feet. It's not that person's fault, at least from an insurance perspective. So just know that if, you know, there's some damage that is done to your property that is done by a tree, for instance, it will be your responsibility. As crazy as that sounds, it is your responsibility. And I was not aware of that until it happened. So now I will know. And once again, it really is an act of God. I mean, what are you going to do? The tree is there. It's near our yard. You know, what are you going to do? So just so you know that. But thankfully, you know, everything was fine. And so we have to get the fence repaired now. And I did get the tree limbs removed. But then here's a little added funny thing to the story. So the guy comes to remove the debris of the tree limb, and he's cutting it up into smaller pieces and throwing it away. And then all of a sudden I get the doorbell rings, and he comes in. He says, you need to come out here for a second. I said, why? What's wrong? And he says, there's a hornet's nest underneath this tree limb in the ground. In fact, one of his workers got stung because I guess when they lifted up the tree limb off this part of the yard where there's mulch and some plants, when they lifted it up, there was these wasps came out because they were like, what the hell? So I thought maybe was it a hive of that was maybe in the tree that fell with the tree. I didn't know there was a wasp nest. But apparently, before those plants were smashed and they were standing up, apparently, I don't know how long it had been there, but there was a wasp nest in the ground at the bottom of this very thick plant, which was not exposed until the limb fell and flattened the plant out. And suddenly this hive was exposed and you could see them flying in and sort of walking into this little hole. So who knew that? But once again, I am a homeowner, so I did have some wasp spray. And I told this story a couple of years ago. I did have to spray a wasp nest that I found underneath my eave of my garage. And that's in one of the former podcast episodes. It's out there somewhere. I don't know what number it is, but it's there. That's a callback, as we say. You can hear my story about the wasp nest. And so I did have some wasp spray left over. But now, suddenly now, just when I thought I have the tree limb gone, so my yard is somewhat back to normal, the fence is not overly damaged, it's still standing, you know, it's not down, it's just, you know, pushed down, it's not completely knocked down, it's just torn from the post, but it's still kind of connected still, thankfully, so it's still doing its job as a fence, so I still have my privacy. So yes, it needs to be fixed, but now that the tree limb is gone, in my mind, life is good again, right? And we'll have the guy come out and fix the fence and we'll all be done, and then it really be nice. But at least in the time being, before the fence guy comes, at least that giant limb is gone, and visually my yard is not, just in chaos. And now suddenly it's back to chaos. Because now I have a wasp nest in the ground in my yard where we sit. So now I have to take care of this. So I had a half a can of spray. Have you ever sprayed a wasp nest? You know, you got to spray it from like 20 feet away with that stuff because you don't want to get close. But this one's in the ground. You know, it's not like a hanging nest. It's not like a hive that you can see. It's not like, you know, that little honeycomb of a wasp nest that you can just see and spray directly. This is in the ground. So me and the guy that's taking the thing, we spray that, and I only had a half a can, so now I went back later in the day. I've got to deal with my wasp nest. So I bought two cans of this Raid stuff, you know, that you spray with the long, you know, like I said, you're about 20 feet away, and it sprays a very straight line of this pesticide to kill the nest. But now this just happened the other day. And then it's best to, if you ever do this, once again, a little hint, now that I'm a veteran, if you're going to go out and spray a wasp nest, you want to do it either early in the morning or, you know, at dusk, because that's when they're less active. So they're not flying around. They're either all in there. They've done their work for the day, and now they're resting. So that's when you want to do it, because they're not flying around. They won't attack you if they sense some danger. But what's difficult about this is that if it's in the ground, I really can't see if I'm getting it or not, and I don't want to get too close, and it's in the ground, and I don't want to dig in there. I'm certainly not going to do that. So as it stands now, just let me tell you, I sprayed 1.5 cans in there just yesterday. And I went there at the morning and first did it, and I went last night. And because it was early morning and late near dusk, there wasn't a lot of activity. So I'm not sure if I got the nest and it's destroyed, or they're just in for the night. So I'm going to have to go out there and take a look during the day to see if they're still flying around. Because even when I've had to spray some nests for a couple of days, there's still whatever stray wasps were not in the nest when it was destroyed and the queen bee hopefully was killed. You know, they still fly back to that spot expecting to go back home, and then there's no home. So for a few days, they still are floating around until they realize, okay, it's gone. So I'm hoping that I've gotten rid of the wasp nest. But wow, just when I get my gutter done and I'm feeling so good about humanity with this honest gutter guy, I have like a three banger, no pun intended, right? I have a damaged fence, two giant tree limbs, and now a wasp nest. And as I said, it's been a pretty nice, you know, errand-free year so far around the house. And if you own a house, you know how it is. There's always something to fix. But sometimes you fix things just for the sake of fixing them or for aesthetics, and that's fun. When there's damaged stuff, that's always a little more serious, because now, you know, you need to get back to normal. So I'm slowly getting back to normal. But this wasp nest was a completely unexpected development. And I felt bad because one of the workers got stung. So all I can say is that faith has been renewed thanks to a very honest gutter guy. I was pleased with the ease and the speed and the efficiency of the insurance company and the adjuster. And so hopefully things soon at the Toronto estate will be back to normal. But if there is one lesson that is to be learned, that at the end of the day, when all is said and done, it's not too bad to call the man. Oh, I'm sorry. To call the person. And so ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Now forget, every Monday a new episode is posted at WGNplus.com or wherever you find your favorite podcast to download. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and pass the good word to your friends about Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode for your podcasting pleasure. Thank you so much for downloading, for scrolling or clicking, or whatever it is, wherever it is you find your favorite podcast. Your loyalty is much appreciated. I'm Jim Tarano. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. This has been Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, from the end of the web to your screen.